to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White, and I want to thank you for joining us today. On today's episode, we are going to be speaking with Roger Pollard, the author of Motivation in You, the book everyone should read. So we want to welcome you, Roger, to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so pleased for you to have me, and I'm excited about this.
Great. I am great. And we know we're excited to have you because this is the place where everybody goes, or where people should go, as your book says, to hear the real things about life and about how empowering themselves, having those conversations that change every aspect of your life. So we kind of keep it real here. So I'm glad you're here. So thank you, first of all, for sending in the book. I want you to know that I read it from cover to cover. I like the little stick figures because that's how I can draw. I love that. So we're going to dive into this right now. Motivation in You, the book that everyone should read. Tell us why you wrote this book.
I wrote this the book. I'm a 14-year high school teacher and a longtime 10-year football coach, head football coach at my alma mater at Coral Gables High School in Miami, Florida. And throughout the years and how I developed my football program was I believe that we have to make better people before we make better athletes.
Uh-huh.
So everything's about giving them foundational aspects behind how they should live their life, not only on the field, but things that will relate and translate in every walk of life. Like, who are you as a person is who I was trying to get through to. And I have a set of twins at home, and they're 7 years old. They're turning 8 in October this year. And just as an educator, I understand the value of really pouring in to the information that we know about everything that we have built. But I don't think we focus enough on giving kids the information that we know about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's us as social creatures, and then that's also us as our genealogy or personality. You know, so I look at my kids, and they're night and day, boy and girl, and there are some things that overlap, and there are some things that are different. So I wanted to give people information about you, not to say that you're on a specific... Everybody lives or exists along a certain spectrum. But as soon as we can identify some of these concepts between personality and sociology, now you just be better able to attack this thing called life.
Right. Okay. So, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I like that.
Thank you.
Very well-rounded. And I think that you are correct. You know, when you invest in the people and you make better people, you make better everything. I mean, players, artists, everything, just everything. You know, you pour into that. That's great. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I went out and I was already doing it throughout the years. I was just kind of making different notes here and there. And
mm-hmm.
I went through a depression it's almost a year or more than a year ago now, and coming out of the other side of that, I realized, you know, we put so much off, or we kind of shy away from so many things that we say, oh, we're going to do, or oh, we will. And I was just like, I need to be deliberate and intentional about the things that I want to do, and
oh yeah,
let's get done.
Absolutely. So, deliberate, yeah, strategically deliberate, yeah, and creative, absolutely, yeah. I agree with that totally. So in your book on page 7, you said, just because you know something does not mean you know it. Can you elaborate for our audience what that means to you, or why you wrote it in the book?
Yeah, I wrote it in the book because I think we don't want to look at things from multiple perspectives.
Okay.
You know, it's almost what we tell our children or teach our kids on a day-to-day basis. Like, you want that toy, but that toy isn't yours. Like, how would you feel if someone came and took your toy?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. So, we turn on the news and we see all of these issues. Well, right. Issues are issues because there are no real simple answers. If there were simple answers, then we would solve them. But there are multiple perspectives from which we can look at absolutely everything. Nuclear weapons are bad. All right, well, I'm of the firm belief that if we didn't have nuclear weapons, we would still be running around with guns and shooting. Well, I mean, we do it too, but it would be to a greater degree. So, you know, good and bad, light and dark, like everything has multiple perspectives. So investigate certain reasons why.
Right.
Investigate why you feel a certain way about something.
So right.
That's what that was.
Challenge yourself, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Challenge yourself to step outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
every relationship is reciprocal. I'll say it like that. So to a chair, right?
Yes.
What does a chair give you? A chair gives you a place to sit. But
yes, absolutely.
If you sit down in a chair all day, your lower back might hurt.
Uh-huh.
There are consequences to everything, and some things may not be seen from the vantage point or viewpoint in which you're looking at it.
Right.
So always try and use it multiple perspectives.
Mm-hmm. So you say in the book, our bodies are actually hardwired towards unknown unknowns because of the vast amount of possibilities they cover.
Yes. That's the fight or flight response. It's tied into our orientation reflex.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear a loud noise or a bang, before you think about it or before you've really even heard it, your body reacts.
Right.
Like there are certain things in your body. Like for paralyzed people, if you hoist them up above a treadmill and you lean them forward,
mm-hmm.
your body will automatically walk on that treadmill. That's because we think of our brains
mm-hmm.
in our head, but our brains run throughout our body.
Right.
So in understanding that, that's my concept that moves into book two, where you need to go outside and stretch. You need to dance. You need to move. You have to get into artistic role and flow, because our bodies do not only speak through our ability to articulate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out and stretch.
Exactly.
Go out and dance. All
exactly.
of these things are different ways in which our body communicates.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So listen to it.
Right.
You have to listen to it because you're the only one who really has it.
Yeah, absolutely. And your book makes so much sense. But some of the things I pulled out of there, I chuckled to myself. I was like, yeah, so very familiar. So very familiar.
Right. And I'm gearing it to the adolescents, just because I'm a high school teacher,
right.
and a longtime football coach, where I'll sit down in an office with a potential kid, and a kid will say, you know, they want to be the best. Everybody wants to go to the NFL. Well, everybody wants to do that when they're sitting down in the AC on the couch.
Don't realize the work. They don't realize it. Yes.
Start getting into the work.
Absolutely.
And the greatest thing is, you know, our attention. Our attention is our most divine power.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing we see that, but I also ask people to really, really look and analyze what do you pay attention to and what are the ways in which they are shaping you, because all of us know about what the fast food restaurants are, but they continually advertise to us.
Right.
What does that mean? Your attention is, like, during the Super Bowl, how much does a 30-second spot cost for a commercial?
Yeah.
That's how much attention is worth, and we have our attention every day, and we...
Wow, that's a great point. Great point.
But you know, these companies are telling us how much our attention means.
Yeah.
And we don't really,
we don't even put a value on it. You just made it real right there. That's something real, is that these commercials cost money. So our attention is worth something. Wow. How do we steer off of not knowing our worth like that? How do we steer from that? What happened?
It's being intentional and deliberate, because honestly, well, I'll put it like this. If you go outside and you see a butterfly, you don't really pay attention to it. Our brains are made to forget. But if you see a lion, that's what gets your
attention. Yes!
So if you think about it, and I think about the news, 40 years ago, how many people bought a newspaper?
Right.
Everybody. That's revenue and money.
Right.
Well, are that many people spending that amount of money today? No.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? They have to go out and everything is about attention grabbing, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on, and there's a big difference between entertainment and education.
Entertainment,
I can just get that and I can go and I can lay back. But if I educate myself, if I truly educate myself and I learn something new, now I have to burn off parts of me that may believe that and let that go. I have to willingly, if I really educate myself, and people don't want to educate themselves because everybody wants to run away from pain. If it's painful because I just learned that the way I eat will change not only what I look like physically, but how I feel physically. And if I love myself, that means I'm invested in the person that I will be. So now I learn I can't eat McDonald's every day. Well, there's a part of me that wants to do that. I have to let that go.
Exactly.
I have to.
Yeah.
It doesn't only work with yourself. It works with things. It works with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it works with, and that's a sacrificial concept. That's a fitness list for everybody, but it voluntarily burns the old parts of itself away.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
You know, we fail to set goals because we don't want to set terms for our own failure. So if we don't think about it, it kind of doesn't happen, and we could turn a blind eye. So I call it, everybody wants to talk about the first 10 amendments, but nobody talks about Amendment Zero. And Amendment Zero is the freedom of failure.
And, that's good.
I think it's powerful.
And that's how we get into this rut about, not self-worth. We get into that. We get into that, we really, because I look at it like you're talking now, the self-worth value, because I could see value in everything, and you just said that the commercials, they spend so much money, so your attention is worth something. So, and it's all about what you put what is important to you, and that's why some of the things get turned around. Years ago used to be, years ago used to be like owning a house. Now it's owning a car, So it's priorities are off.
And nobody is 100%. So I just, I'm like, well, okay, I have another one. The United States of America, do you know what the Pledge of Allegiance is? Pledge of Allegiance to the, okay, so the United States of America, one of the best countries in the world, says that you should have a pledge that you talk to or say every day.
Right.
Well, my question to everybody is, what's the pledge for yourself?
Right.
What pledge do you yourself, and then do you, like the United States says, hey, when we go into classroom, we're supposed to stand up, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Okay, that's fine, that's cool, I get it, I'm with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're saying they're the most powerful, now you want to imitate what you emulate, you're going to imitate what you emulate.
Yeah.
Well, if that's a top country and they're saying they have a pledge that you say to yourself, that you say every day, what's the pledge that you say to yourself? My pledge is courage, love, and discipline, and that's the second book where courage is eat right, sleep right, and exercise.
Right.
Well, and just, I'm not saying you're going to do it 100% of the time.
Right, right, of course.
You're flawed, but you should at least have a plan. Like, I have a diet plan in which I try and eat certain ways It's an aim. It's an ideal. It's a right. It's a way. And yo, every Friday I do have McDonald's with my kids.
You right. Know? It's not right. Part of it, yeah. But, yeah. You get it. You have to have something. You have to have a goal. Yeah.
Right. And if you don't have a goal, now these attention miners, which is
yes.
Social media, they're just going to, they're going to snap in front of you.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You got to identify. You got
to You do. You
it.
Have that's to identify. You really do.
Yeah.
Because you get turned around. You get turned
that's
around.
That's what this book is.
Yeah.
This book is, I'm not really telling, I have a lot of quotes in there and things of that nature, mm-hmm. but I'm not really telling you need to do this or you need to do that.
Right. Just a reminder. It's really a reminder and to make you challenged, be challenged about a lot of things.
Right. Like who are you? How from
Stop it, because I was just gonna read that.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's fine. It's fine. I was just about to read that. You do say in your chapter, you, who are you? Honestly, take the time to answer the question. You are not your name. I don't know how many times I ask people, because I'm, you know, a life purpose coach, and I ask them, who are they? And they will say, my name is, and my roles, you know, I'm a mother, I'm this, I'm that. I was like, okay, but those are, that's your name you were given at birth. Got it. And those are roles that you do here on earth. But who are you? Why is that important in your opinion? And I know you elaborate, but why is it important?
Look, just from a practical standpoint, let's say I'm trying to get to you. You say you're in New York.
Right.
Well, we've been spoiled. The first thing we do is we put in the address to where we're going, but we don't even realize that the address to where we are is automatically already set.
Yeah.
Well, so that this book is about where are you? If mm-hmm. you're trying to go somewhere, we have to first determine where we are. Because where I am determines what route I'm going to take. You know, you're in New York. What if I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to come find you. I'm going to go get you. And I'm going to go walking. Or I'm going to get a bike. No. Knowing where you are and the distance from where you are to where you want to go mm-hmm. lets you know what tools you're going to make, lets you know what type of mindset you have, lets you know how long you're going to do it. Like, there are no goals. There are only bad timelines. And timelines mm-hmm. are is the distance between the two. Everybody always wants to talk about the horizon and no one wants to talk about where their feet are. We gotta figure out where are our feet?
Yeah.
Who are you from family level? Did you have your parents in your life, great parents
right.
in your life, whatever. And whatever your family was, your family is special, that's great and that's good. If you grew up with a father, if you grew up with a mother, what your job is, you're gonna be the mother that you didn't have. You're mm-hmm. gonna be the father that you didn't have. So I don't wanna hear anything, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Family, friends, what your faith is. What do you believe in?
Right.
Not through words, but through action. Do you believe in a higher power and a higher being?
Mm-hmm.
And I say that your belief is action. So if you spend more time on the phone than you do with a personal relationship with that divine thing, now let's be real and let's be honest.
Right.
And then education, of course, like right. we're saying in our society, the most important thing is to educate for 25 years, 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the most important one is mass media, which is having a negative effect. We know that negative ideation is up, especially in our future with
yeah.
our kids, from suicide rates to this, to that. And I think we're constantly reinforcing labels and identities instead of values.
Yeah.
What do you value?
Right.
What do you value? And let your value tell you what your identity is.
Yeah.
And we've got it. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. So.
Right. Yeah, you talk about a lot of that, the mass media communications, and you talk about that and kind of the traits along with what you're getting, you know, what you're listening to. So I want to go to the statement that you have a quote here that it's by you. Don't tell me your goals. Show me how you work and I will tell you what your goals are. I think that's terrific. I think that is so very terrific. I never thought of it that way, but I think it's, yeah. I think that is, I could just see you and I know what your goals are. You can tell me everything else, but, you know, I see what your goals are.
Well, I deal with the high school crowd, so, you know, I tell them and I ask them, hey, look, you have a girl who won't tell you that they love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a girl that will tell you passionately, look you in your face, and tell you that she loves you. But after she tells you she loves you, she kisses some other guy in the face.
Right.
And the other girl who won't tell you she loves you is always going to be there for you, always want to have conversation and connect with you, is really invested in the relationship that you guys built. Mm-hmm. Which one do you believe? Like, what right. do you believe in through action? You want to be with the girl who tells you all of the sweet things and curses, or the guy, right?
For, right.
You know, to switch, or it doesn't matter who.
Mm-hmm.
The person that you utmost care about, they tell you one thing, but they do the next. I would rather have someone tell me that they hate me, but through their action, when I look at their action, because the action is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you're aiming at, it's the value and energy in which you put forward into that. And I think we're too caught up in our day and age with the marketers and the clever
right.
talkers.
Right.
People who use lies in order to, oh, I'm sorry, they use the truth to tell the lie.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it's just.
To
like
create a lie, know, yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, the white lies. Or the,
oh, yeah.
You know, the half truths. And
mm-hmm.
I call it the opposite of logos, the opposite of
right.
the pure, honest
pure
articulation
love, yeah.
of
love.
Truth is creation. And, mm-hmm. You know, and we are where we are today.
Yeah.
People tell you this, and then it's not about providing a service; it's about turning a profit. And
yeah.
It's tough. So
yeah.
I just.
So how do we stay? So how do we stay from arrogance and hubris when building confidence in ourselves, our talents, and skills?
One is understand that every single individual on this planet is special, and it's not an individual. It's every entity is special. And because every entity is special, nothing is, right?
Because right.
if everything is the same, then it's not. So you have to have confidence in you because you're you, but and that's the hubristic side.
Right.
But the root side is finding confidence. I know I'm going to make this free throw because I've practiced this free throw 1,000 times. I've practiced this shot 1,000 times. I've practiced being able to stand up on my own and articulate my thoughts. I've practiced like it's the old man, the old veteran at work that everybody kind of rolls to. Like, you might have a boss, but if they don't mm-hmm. know nothing, you can sit back and you can look. Who does everybody go to when they're in times of need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where that confidence needs to come from. It has to come. And like my kids. My football players used to always talk about Deion Sanders, how he was talking about he was prime time. If you look good, you play good.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders ran a 4.29 in the flight of four. He was ridiculously athletic and put a whole bunch of work in.
Right.
And we kind of get caught up too much in that final product.
Right.
And not really
exactly.
Much.
Not seeing what the work has got to be involved.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that leads me to the next question I have for you. Can you give us like three pointers or steps to how to build yourself, how you break it down in your book? Just give us three pointers on how
From
to build
this
yourself.
Book or my second book?
How to build three. It on your chapter here, it says how to build yourself. Can you give us three pointers on how to build yourself?
To me, one, you're building yourself in two ways, right? So who you are as an individual is about being a teammate, right? How can you be a teammate? Like we are stronger together. So since we are going to always have relationships, then
mm-hmm.
you got to be able to communicate and
right.
be and have some humility behind what you do in
right.
your actions. And humility is the ability to see that other people may be able to do something better than you.
Right.
Right.
Like absolutely.
That's the concept behind family,
right?
Right? That's the concept, and I feel like the original family is the community. No one person does everything.
Mm-hmm.
We share and reciprocate certain activities
okay.
so that the final product
mm-hmm.
is what it is.
Right.
And then build yourself as a leader, because who cares what you can do if you can't lead yourself?
Right.
If you can't,
who cares?
If you
yeah.
lead yourself, what good are you? And that's that's finding out what you value.
Right.
Really, 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 not really identifying with a label or identification,
right.
but identifying with the things that are important to you
mm-hmm.
that you have found you have a strong foundation.
Right.
So
exactly. Yeah.
Find your values and then humility.
Okay. All right. That's beautiful. All right, audience, you heard that. And that's some good information to grow us personally and in leadership. That's really important. And that's a great value for now for anything that we're doing, considering what is going on in our climate as it is now. So tell us, what, as you're writing this book, who was one of the, or who kind of like pushed you along to write this book?
In terms of like who I was listening to?
Who inspired you to kind of write this book? Yes.
My inspiration, I tell people, I don't really care if I sell a book.
Yeah.
It's my kids. Like I went out there was a little fan thing going on. I was having people write down what their goals are. Mm-hmm. Writing down a goal increases your probability of getting it by 50%. And my son drew the book because they've known since I was writing the book that the book was for them.
Right.
Like going into ninth grade, whatever the summer reading is, okay, I got it. They're going to read this book because I want them to understand what it is. And so it's for them.
Right.
That's it.
For them. Yeah, that's great. For the next generation. That's a great heritage. That's great. That's really great. So what are the best resources as an author did you have to kind of help you do this? That cut your hand, your time in half or gave you, oh, this is great. You know, what helped you?
I really don't watch a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't do a whole bunch of music. If you ask me what happened at the party last night or anything like that, I don't know. Like I like to listen to different podcasts.
Right.
Philosopher's Notes with Brian Johnson. He just breaks down the best books out of different fields. And then going on YouTube and listening to different, I'm really interested in, I don't think we control our interests.
Right.
I'm really interested in how ideals, concepts, abstract ideals are actually connected from the physiological level.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to explain, like we know that 15 minutes of exercise actually changes the amount of BDNF in your system. BDNF is the body differential neurotrophic factor. What that does is it increases your ability to think. It increases your ability to memorize things. It goes into your hippocampus and all. So I like tracing all of those things.
Oh, interesting.
Understand, hey, working out is not about what you look like. It's actually increasing what you think like.
Oh, yeah.
And, So listening to like Andrew Huberman's podcast or my wife is in school now, so I have access to Journally Scholars, and I just, hey, is there a correlation between gender and income? Or is there a correlation? And really, really, really going down and getting into the meat of the information.
Okay, good. What was your biggest challenge or failure as you were writing this book and trying to get it all correlated? Did you have a challenge? And what did you learn from it?
One was courage. You know, anytime, you know, if you look at our archetypical stories, who entertains the king in the courtyard? It's the jester. It's the joker. And that's because anytime you go off into a new endeavor, you go off a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody screams at you. Like 500 people went in that direction and they didn't come back.
Wow.
And you've got to kind of have the faith that I'm the one. I prepared myself. I put myself in the situation to stand up and move on. So anytime you start something, of course you're going to start a fool. No one wants to look a fool, but it's like the first time you took a step, did you walk right away? Like I say, learn from the lesson of the younger version of you. Like if we were learning how to walk right now in our age, no one would walk because everybody would be so upset about falling or more concerned about the color of their shoes or something else. Learn how to walk. How many times do you fall? You don't know. You just know that you walk.
Yeah.
And that's my thing for authors. Yo, like there are no bad goals. There are only bad timelines.
Wow.
So continually, consistently, like you're not who you are, you're who you're going to become. And you have to identify with the part of you that creates the better you. You're not where you are. You're not where you're going. You're somewhere in between. And identifying with that. And that's hard when you're doing a new endeavor. But
oh, yeah, absolutely. Very hard.
No, and that's why it's courage, the ability to move forward, knowing the good and the bad.
Right.
I can take the game-winning shot because I know I might miss it, but I have confidence in the practice that I had before that I'll make it. It's just that confidence, you know.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Well, audience, you are on Keeping It Real on Purpose, and we are listening to Roger Pollard on his book, Motivation and You, the book everyone should read, which I have read, and I will say it's very easy reading. Roger, how can we get this book from you?
You can go to my website, motiveandmotivation.com, and then also on Amazon. You can Google it and search it. I've had a lot of positive feedback, which is, anytime something new and you kind of put yourself out there,
it's a challenge,
kind of nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Like this is a challenge.
Yes.
Like getting on here and then you never know, you know, that's the unknown unknown, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Standing, especially when you're invested in it. But,
yeah.
What I find peace is knowing that the only thing that you can control are your thoughts and your actions.
Yep.
And if anything comes back, you know, negatively, don't get in your feelings, because you know, negative emotion just comes when an expectation doesn't meet reality.
Right.
Don't get mad at reality. Or if people read and they don't like it, it might be because of who they are, because everybody's different, or it might be you're not. You know, maybe this isn't really a good endeavor for me. Consistently going out. Challenge yourself, get outside your comfort zone a little bit, take the criticism, and continually grow.
Right.
You know, continually go.
This is so great for the audience and myself, and getting to know all about your book, which is your business. And now it's time to turn the tables so we can know about you personally, Roger. So who is the most important person in your life? I know you already probably told us, is it the twins? Yes? No?
The twins? Well, no, because I really honestly say, you know, we're all either one or two things originally. And the most foundational thing is we're a son-daughter first.
Okay.
And so that's the relationship with my parents.
Okay.
And then,
that's great.
And then we're a father-mother.
Okay.
So I'd want to say it's a tie between those two,
okay.
But you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my parents.
Absolutely, so, you're right.
The kids wouldn't be here, so that's them, and I get them riled up. They're about an hour south of me, so I like to investigate the truth sometimes, and sometimes that can be a little painful for people. But that's them. Those are my driving forces, and then of course my kids and my wife and. Community concept.
That's great, Roger. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
In 2006, I was a sociology teacher, and I was giving Motivational Monday lessons. And about 6 years, 7 years after that, there was a girl who was homeless at the time, and listened to some of the things that I told them about ninth graders and studying for the SAT. Not looking at your situation as, you know, just solely negative, but that you can change it. And she ended up working her way into a full scholarship at Columbia. And she wrote a heartfelt letter to me, just, you know, because I always said, when I speak, I don't speak to the whole class. I speak to just one person. I'm like one person who really, really leans in and listens to it, where I can make, you know, monumental change. This girl went from being homeless to having a full scholarship. And, you know, how much does that change the rest of her life?
Wow.
So that gratitude, you know, that was she didn't have to come back and leave that letter.
That's nice. That's beautiful. That's when you really feel good. You know, it feels good to get those things. It just makes you feel like, hey, I am on the right track somewhere, and I'm touching a life at a time, which is great.
That's the, like, even in having this conversation right now, this isn't about, you know, trying to bluff. No, there's one person out there that'll hear this, and it'll make their day, or it'll change the way you look at things.
Sure.
When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Love that. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
It's about, I think the most important person is who you become.
Ooh.
And it would be a phoenix. Yeah, it'd be a phoenix and a statement over. I gotta write this down. Oh my goodness, who you become. I'm serious.
It's wonderful when you have these great conversations and all this great stuff just comes out. So you do have to have a pen and paper or something. You know, you do have to have it.
That's what conversation is.
Like, yeah.
I like down the etymology of words. Con means to thoroughly wrestle. Ver is truth. Station is satisfied. Like,
yes.
We're kind of shying away from in our era.
Right.
Everybody wants to shout each other down. No, a conversation means we are trapped. We're both participating in the form and art of creation, taking thoughts from our mind and making them real. And we put both of our views out there, and we're letting these views wrestle so that we can eventually get to what we're satisfied with as the truth.
Yes.
And, I feel like we're lacking in that in today's age.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we just got to get more people who are willing to do it.
Yeah, I think to have the conversations.
People
are
hungry and striving or hungry for that.
Great. So final thoughts. What's the best tip you can share with anyone that wants to be in business motivate them or inspire them or anyone that wants to be an author?
My thing is start off. Everybody watches football games or basketball games, or you've seen and you know what momentum is.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, start your day off with momentum. Give yourself three things to do that ends off with your pledge. And I say, and just because of the physiology behind it, and this is going to be in my third book.
Mm-hmm.
End your morning off with a cold shower because of what it does for you, but some type of physical activity. Whether it's a 15-minute walk, a connection with, I'm learning about grounding and what's going on in terms of having your feet connected to the floor, ground.
Mm-hmm.
Where I just looked up a graph yesterday, where the rates of diabetes and shoe sales are exactly the same graph.
Oh wow!
Yes, I mean it's crazy. And then get a little bit of a reading in, get a little bit of something that you're reading in.
Right.
Those three, and end it off. Exercise, you know, a connection type of deal, which is really about gratitude.
Right.
Right. There are people out there who can't walk. Can you walk? There are people out there who can't talk, who can't think, who can't do. Before you get up, do you say thankful? Because you can't be thankful and take things for granted.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
Right.
And once you do that, now you can turn on the news and listen to all this negativity and all that other stuff. But get your momentum going in the morning, first thing.
That's great. Yeah. Audience, get your momentum going. One of my favorite things to do is, you know, do some exercise and some yoga and then meditate. And I love walking meditation, which is great, you know, 15, 20 minutes walking. And just I love that connecting with nature, no matter what weather it is sometimes, you know. But I love it. I love just doing that. And it gets me started for my day. You know, so I like that part. Audience, take note of that. That's some great information for us to take back for our personal well-being. And that brings us to the end of the show. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank Roger for being here with us and sharing his book. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, leave a rating and a review. And to catch up with me, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at EJW Coaching. And you see what I'm doing around town. But you guys know you follow me. You're my internet best friends. So remember to get this book again, Roger Pollard, Motivation in You, the book everyone should read. And we thank you, Roger, for being here. And this is Edna White and my guest, Roger Pollard, signing off for now. Bye for now.
All right. Thank you.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your cachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.